There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along. It's like a critical mass has been reached here on the Big Head discussion. Because this was not planned. It was planned that Steve Joynt from Mobile Mass comes in, talks Mardi Gras with us each week. But it was not planned that you would come in at the same time I'm doing a story about a lacrosse player with a 25-inch head that they can't fit him with a lacrosse helmet.
I feel his pain. I, too, am cranially challenged.
Or just over-endowed.
Over-endowed.
Dalton, just we poked your head in here. Could you come in and let us know? You said you Googled this, and I'm looking at a list here of our buddy Angelo over at Mobile Bay Coins said what some other people said, Leno, for having a... Yeah, I think I think he has a big head, or it seems like he has a big head, and then... Drew Carey. I don't know if that's just Drew Carey's. I don't know if it's David says Drew Carey. I don't know if that's just Drew Carey's haircut or He really does have a head. Bruce, is it Bochy or Bochy, manager?
Oh, Bochy, yeah.
Bochy of the San Francisco Giants.
Just announced his retirement. I'm not sure if he has a big head.
He said size 8 1/8.
Oh, my.
That's pretty big.
That's big.
And he has to wear a hat.
That's special order big.
That's a big hat. You Googled celebrities with big heads.
Yeah, I'm seeing, well, Jay Leno appears to be the setting the standard.
Really?
If you will. I know Peyton Manning, I don't know if Peyton Manning just had a long head, because I know he had a 5-head more so than a 4-head, but I'm not sure if it was a big, like, circumference of a head, but I know he had quite the noggin.
Let's keep this discussion. It has to be in circumference versus length of head.
Okay, well, here's your top 10. I don't know how legit this is, but Leno comes in at number one.
It never lies.
Michael Moore, number two.
Yeah, I buy that.
Travolta in at number three.
Really?
Yeah, and that he probably had to balance that thing.
Yeah,
while
he's because he's like a little dude, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Shatner, number four.
Okay. I could buy that, yeah.
Conan, number five. He's been mentioned. George Lopez, who measured his head on his show. Doesn't say the size here, but he did measure it on the George Lopez show. Hasselhoff, number seven.
I can so see Hasselhoff.
Kept him afloat in Baywatch. Eight, Drew Carey. Okay. Howard Stern coming in at number nine. Maybe that's why he's got so much hair covering the big noggin. And then Mel Gibson, number 10.
So I would not have picked. Now, Mel Gibson, I would have failed that one.
Rosie O'Donnell keeps coming up in searches also.
For big heads.
For big heads.
But you said Mendoza, was it Lopez? George Lopez had measured his head.
That's correct.
But he didn't reveal it.
I measured my head
in here during the news break, and I am going to reveal it.
Okay. Are we going to get a drum roll, or how should we do this?
Well, we could do that here. But, I mean, it's like...
Drum roll my head on the...
And I don't know the conversion, because, like, we're seeing this... And I know that Steve speaks this. You know that 8 1/8 means something. Like you said, 7...
Sure. 7 5/8 is basically my size, and that's really... You can't find anything on the rack that's bigger than 7 5/8.
Lopez saying 25 inches.
25? Okay, well, that's this kid. Yeah, he's 25. So if George Lopez wanted to pick up a collegiate lacrosse career, he would be in the same pickle as this kid.
Yeah, luck, yeah.
They can't find a helmet. How is it they can't find? Because I'll tell you right now, I'm about to reveal my circumference size, and I had no problem having a football helmet. You played football, Steve, right?
Right.
I had a helmet that fit me. I guess lacrosse helmets are they more narrow? Or?
Well, everyone knows the first test is sticking your head in the banister of your staircase. And after that, then you know whether you have a big head or not.
By the way, I'd have to say, Big Head Hall of Fame, Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah,
could there be a head bigger than that?
I think he's
Barry
a head.
Bonds had a big head. Probably yeah. Performance-enhancing drugs might have played a part in that, but had a big head.
Do PEDs make your... They don't make your melon bigger, do they?
I think so. I think they do.
What about Barney Rubble? If somebody could go back and say, if we assume Barney Rubble was... Because it's caveman days, they didn't have the same nutrition. But let's say Barney Rubble was five feet tall, mm-hmm. right?
Maybe.
Okay, say he's 4.5, right? And came in. How big was his head? If you use that as a ratio.
But the funny thing is, his neck was bigger than his head.
That's correct. that's how the caveman worked.
Did he really have a neck? Actually.
Mm. All right. So somebody says, so what is it? Well, okay. So I used. You watched me. I used a piece of wire, radio cable in here. That's how we do it.
It's very scientific.
And I used it, and then I have a ruler, a straight ruler, and so I used the cord around my head, then measured it on the ruler, and I was, let's see, drum roll. Can we do a drum roll? We have a drum roll for somebody. But the drum roll is...
the drummer's measuring his head.
All right, and this is way too long of a drum roll, because I don't have time for this. 24 inches.
Oh, wow.
Boom.
Okay.
24
Boom.
Inches. So I don't know what that converts to in one of these hat sizes.
Melon.
Melon
Big
size.
Melon.
It has a picture of a melon.
You're no George Lopez.
So 24 inches.
Close.
So 24 inches. So there we go. Big head discussion. Did you say LL Cool J also? Big
yeah,
head?
LL Cool J. Looks like he had a big head. Has. I keep saying had, like a lot of these people have passed. Yeah,
they're not decapitated.
No.
They're still around. They still have their heads. So if you want to, yes, I'm getting your big head pictures on the text line. Big Head Todd from Big Head Todd and the Monsters, of course, Big Head. So, yes, if you want to send your measurements in here to the text line, we can compare and contrast, all right? We'll have a head measuring contest. All right. That's not why. It's one of the reasons, but not the main reason why Steve joined for the Mobile Mask is in here, because we're talking Mardi Gras, and it is T minus how many weeks? Three?
Oh,
I hate that. That's why I do that. That's why I do that. We're within.
It's like two.
Yes, two weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from
it's like
Tuesday.
Two.
And the inaugural downtown parade and weekend. Looking at the numbers, and we're going to get into how I knew yesterday when people were questioning those numbers how to answer them, because I read the story about crowd counts and the Mobile Mask. But those were pretty good.
It was a wow. It was definitely a wow. And it was
100,000.
Yeah. The first night, which I don't think has ever happened before. Usually we hit 100, when we hit 100K, it's Crew of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
MOTs, right around in there, right around that last
the
weekend.
Fevered pitch of the weekend
right.
leading into Fat Tuesday.
To open with 100K, crazy. But after the Condi's parade, I tweeted out, I'll bet you that was 100,000 people.
And it turns out MPD see, comes out pretty good call.
Yeah.
And MPD said 107, I mean.
109, it was 109 and change.
Okay, 109 and change. Which, by the way, if y'all wonder how they get those actual numbers, it's all in the new Mobile Mask.
And then I rode in the Pharaoh's Parade Saturday night, and I when I got back to my wife, I said, if that's not 100,000 people, I don't want to see 100,000 people, because that was a lot of people out there.
It is back-to-back night. It's, and I don't have the experience you do watching it. I mean, I've been to Mardi Gras my whole life, but I've not studied them like you do. But it seems like if there was a very, very big night, often the next night would not be, people would like go big one night and not the other. But I mean, two nights of 100,000.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, though. That's the thing. I mean, it was if any night's going to almost meet Friday night, it's going to be Saturday night. And the weather was great.
Yes.
It was tremendous weather. And it was great weather all day Saturday. I mean, Bayport and mm-hmm. Mystic DJs, they had gorgeous weather. So everybody's out there in their short pants, and they're having fun. And it was like 42 and change, I think, came out for the afternoon parades, which doesn't sound like that much until you remember that the year before it was like 11,000 and something.
Right, and that's one of the things that when we talked last week and we were talking about why the crowd count numbers from MPD are important. It wasn't as much as saying specifically it's 109,723 on this given day. It is important because they use the same grids and the same techniques. You can compare it to years past.
Right.
And
you look at other,
smaller.
You, you, look at other years for the Conde Cavaliers, and you can say, oh, well, it's up by this percentage or it's down by that percentage, and let's look at why.
Okay. Well, you mentioned this. We'll run the break here, come back, but you mentioned weather, and it was very nice for this last weekend. Of course, looking outside this week, it actually looks like February on the Gulf Coast. It's been cloudy, cool, and rainy. What does that mean for the parades coming up? Hopefully nothing. I don't want to get any of the Incas mad at me. Things look pretty good for Friday night, but we'll talk more about this with the man behind the Mobile Mask. You can get a copy of it now. We'll tell you where when we get back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Lou Ferrigno? Lou Ferrigno, big head.
Big head.
That's what Bob says. Bob and Fairhope says Lou Ferrigno. He said the Hulk had a huge head, which, I mean, would require, unless they did plastic, you know, add-ons or something to the head or something.
Sure.
But to special effects. But Lou Ferrigno, probably big head. We'll have to put that on the list. By the way, I would love for your help over on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. We have tweeted at Conan O'Brien, who talks about his big head. Link the story about this kid who can't play his college lacrosse because they can't find a helmet big enough for him. So we're hoping it cause celeb for Conan O'Brien or something to help out this kid. So y'all, if you'll retweet it and get some activity on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, we'd appreciate it. All right.
I want to talk to Blowhouse Band and see if we can write a song called Get Your Big Head Down to the Mardi Gras.
Blowhouse, come on, y'all. Y'all are fantastic. I know you can do this. I know you can.
Get your big head down to the Mardi Gras.
This could be a classic.
I know. I'm telling you.
A classic. As, speaking of what's happening with Mardi Gras, we'll talk about where you can pick up the Mobile Mask. They could also hear you in person coming up, giving a little talk about, or giving a big talk.
Tamari.
You can come see a big head give you a talk about Mardi Gras.
That's right. Shameless plug. I will be at the History Museum of Mobile tomorrow for the learning lunch at noon. I do it every year, but it's a different topic every year. This year, the topic is the mother of mystics and all her children.
Okay. All her children.
This is a concentration. The exhibition they just opened up there, the homegrown, built from the ground up exhibition at the History Museum, parading through time, mm-hmm. is the history of Mardi Gras, but concentrating on the mystic societies themselves. And so that's kind of what I'm doing in my talk to coincide with that, is talking about mystic societies and how Mardi Gras is mm-hmm. mystic societies. It's not the city. It's not, you know.
True.
Without the mystic societies, there would be no Mardi Gras.
Yeah, you have been, that message has been something you've, since day one.
Yes.
I've heard from you. There's, everything else is extra if the mystic societies aren't, they are why. They are more, it's not 50-50 even.
And, you know, it's so, when you think about it, when you stop and think about it, and you realize how long this has been going on, and how, you know, it has ebbed and flowed a little bit, but right now Mardi Gras has never been stronger. We've never had more parades, we've never had more people participating, we've never had more people coming downtown to see it.
I feel that. So it is true.
It is all because these organizations, these informal, sororital, fraternal organizations put a lot of money mm-hmm. on the table so that people can go and have a free show and have a good time on their dime.
And it's
amazing.
They're throwing a party for the city.
I mean, if you go to Galveston claims they have a Mardi Gras, they charge for everything. Everything. You got to buy tickets for everything in Galveston.
To like go to Mardi Gras?
Go to Mardi Gras, yeah. To all the, they'll
get ticketed.
They have concerts and stuff like that, but even parades you have to get tickets for.
Okay, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
It's crazy. Yeah, no, it's crazy. I follow them on Twitter and I keep going, y'all charge for that? But it's because they don't have the spirit organizations that are picking up the tab, and that's what these organizations exist for. They exist, and I go to the meeting, the Parading Association meeting after Mardi Gras, I make sure I tell them every year. I know you're not going to hear this very often, and it's a shame because you should. But thank you for doing what you do, mm-hmm. and thank you for doing it so well, and thanks for a great show, a great season. It was really wonderful.
And think about it that way. But you're spot on. And remind folks, too, if they have not gotten a copy of Mobile Mask, they need to get, because, I mean, talk about day-to-day information, things they need for parade routes and those kind of things. But the stories, whether we're counting crowds or we're looking at the history of 1703 and Mardi Gras and who gets to claim it, all that kind of stuff's in the new issue.
Or those
new
weird
issue.
Old masks that some of the polka dots wear. You
yes.
can see those Thursday night.
That's
out
right.
On the street.
Polka dots on.
Those weird masks made out of screen windows.
is that what they are?
More
is
it less, screen? Yeah, it's metal screen material, and they paint faces
right.
onto the screen. And the ladies who wear them say, gosh, I can see so much better because it's not two little holes
right.
for eyes. It's I'm looking through a screen window.
It's like I'm staring out in the yard at what the kids
yeah,
are doing
exactly.
when the windows are open.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so for somebody who's got a little more challenge with their vision and
yeah.
whatnot, it makes perfect sense.
So that is in there. If they want to pick up a copy of, I mean, I know it's kind of everywhere, but tell them where everywhere is.
Well, it's at 23 different stores throughout the area. It's at several Rouse's. It's at several Greer stores. It's at all the Toomey's stores. Heck, you can get one at the Moon Pie General Store. You can get one at Bienville Souvenirs downtown. We've got a list on the website. Just click on the magazine, and one of the first things you'll see is, hey, here's the list of stores where you can buy it.
So. Right. You get a copy. You're going to love it. I mean, there's, you know, from the time it's out, usually there's a copy in our house. We get it from the Rouse's by the house, but that's stays in, you know, the kind of the coffee table stack.
And once you're into the Mobile Mask thing, I mean, you're really in, because then you start looking at the Facebook page mm-hmm. and you start using the website. You get the app so you can have the all that information out.
We
out
haven't
on
talked about
route.
That. Yeah, we haven't talked about it this year on the app. Tell people about the app.
That, plain and simple, it's a free app called Mobile Mask. You can get it in iTunes. You can get it in the Play Store, and it gives you the important stuff. It gives you the parade schedule. It gives you information about all the different parading organizations and what's, you know, how many floats you're going to see in this year's parade mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So it's you out there on the parade route can be, you know, Mr. Answer Man when somebody says, I wonder what the theme is going to be this year.
Right.
It's like, by goodness, it's going to be this.
You can go all Cliff Clavin on it and just say, little known fact.
Didn't you know it's going to be see you in the funny papers.
All right. Let's grab a quick call here. Thomas is in Irvington. Hey, Thomas, you're on with Steve Joint.
Good afternoon, guys. How y'all doing today?
Very well. Good.
I had a funny little thing that happened to me and the wife Saturday. We went into Costco's, and the Mobile Mystic Society paraded through Costco's, which I thought was just as the coolest thing I've ever seen.
The Saturday before their parade, which would have been this past Saturday, because they're parading this coming Sunday, that is their goodwill tour.
That's cool.
Yeah, they get a bus, sometimes two, and they go around town, and they put on a show for largely homes for the aged and things
right.
like that, shut-ins. They have a whole route of places they go. But they always go somewhere for lunch, and they always go somewhere to...
So they went to Costco. That's cool.
They went to Costco, yeah.
So, I mean, you're just in there shopping or whatever, Thomas, and all of a sudden here it comes?
Yeah, we were... matter of fact, we pulled up to the door, and there was two big buses, and they had a band.
Yep, they usually have a band with them.
We watched them go into the, you know, go in and walk all around, had the band playing while they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, I've got 8 grandkids. 7 of them came a couple of years ago to Mardi Gras. They live up in Nebraska. They've never seen anything like this before.
I bet not.
And they are begging their parents to bring them down every year, but they can't because of school up there. But I have never seen their eyes as bright. And they went home with tons of Mardi Gras stuff, and everybody up there in their schools going, what is Mardi Gras? What is it? What did you do? It was just the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Well, that is a great story. That right there, kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
Maybe we should go on a national speaking tour explaining to kids what Mardi Gras is.
And why their school systems need to let them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. More information, of course, online. You can go to the Facebook page for Mobile Mask. Check out what's happening.
MobileMask.com.
And see you tomorrow at the History Museum.
Okie doke.
All right.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And when I got a question like this, I got to go to the man that deals with this for the state of Alabama, along with a big staff of people that are watching this kind of issue, wildlife issues, fishery issues for us in the staff, state of Alabama, Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, and buddy of mine, too, Chuck Sykes, Director, joining us now on Midday Mobile. Chuck, this is leaving us, I mean, this CWD talk, you started this with us, almost 2 years ago, year and a half ago?
Yeah, we were trying to get people up to speed on what it is and what we were looking at. And, you know, we did it before it really hit close to home. Now that it's hit close to home, there's a lot of people interested in it now.
It's true. Now, I'd like to point out, yes, that Director Sykes had been on here talking about it for a while. And also from, you talked about it from a perspective of hunters bringing meat into the state and the way the infection or the way CWD was spread most quickly. You always told me, what was it, in the back of a pickup? That's the...
Yep, CWD and wild hogs spread the same way, going 70 miles an hour down the interstate.
So with that being the situation, when CWD positive deer came up in Mississippi, not just southwest Mississippi, but now northeast Mississippi, and I guess Tennessee as well, we got it right here on our border.
Yeah, unfortunately, one of the Mississippi deer and several of the Tennessee deer, they're within our 50 miles, so that's instituted a higher degree of surveillance from our staff up in northwest Alabama.
And then I see this. So we've talked a bit about it, your perspective at Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries and what it means to keep CWD out of our state. It means so much. But then I see something for Centers for Disease Control. And I have asked this question a couple times. I've heard, we've discussed this on the outdoor show as well about testing the meat of deer that we shoot. And now the CDC is saying hunters should test all game before eating it. Now, I'm going to defer to you, Chuck, before I defer to the CDC. So you tell me what you think.
Me and my family are going to continue to eat deer and wild game taken in Alabama. So I'm not quitting doing what I'm doing. However, if I am hunting in an area that is known to have a CWD hotspot, yes, out of an abundance of caution, I'm going to have that deer tested before I consume it. Absolutely. That's the way they're handling it out west in Colorado and Wyoming and places like that have had it for years. It's out of an abundance of caution.
Oh, okay, so how do we, obviously here this is, we're a week or so out at the end of deer season here in Alabama, but people got meat in their freezer right now. Either they've processed it themselves, done that, or they're getting it back from the processor, or whatever. They got their meat in the freezer, and they're looking at it, and like you said, if it's Alabama, that's one thing, but what about me? I mean, you and I know each other. I have a buck from Colorado, a mule deer buck from Colorado in my freezer. Where do I take that and get it tested? What does a guy like me do?
Well, at this point in time, you can't.
Okay.
You cannot test the meat. You have to take either a portion of the brain stem or the lymph nodes that's in the back of the throat. Those are the two places where CWD tests, that's where the samples are taken from.
But so we can't do that back here in Alabama.
Today, there's no way just to take meat and test it to tell whether it has CWD.
Okay. So the idea of knowing our discussions in the past that no bones, no brain stem, none of that coming into the state. So somebody who would be outside our state and kill, like you said, in a what you would consider a CWD zone, and we can talk about some of those, they would have to get that testing done wherever they are, right?
I mean, that's correct. In a lot of places, and I'm sure in Colorado, I know I've talked to people that hunt in mandatory testing zones. You shoot a deer, you take it to a check station. We had CWD sample drop-off points in quite a few of our counties up on the Mississippi and Tennessee line this year where, one, you could either take your deer to the district office and have a biologist take your sample, or you could go to one of our self-service freezer drop-off locations, cut the head of the animal off, put it in a garbage bag, drop it in the freezer, and we would have it tested. and let you know. But as far as just having the meat tested, there's not anything out there for that right now.
Hey, just joining us, talking to Director of Wildlife Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes. But those programs y'all were doing, like in North Alabama, weren't those for deer shot inside the state, right?
Yes.
So there's no bringing it in.
Alabama deer only.
Okay. So with the CDC saying what it's saying now for this testing, and you're saying for you and your family, and I mean, you know, we're about the same as y'all, the amount of venison we eat every year at my house, Alabama killed deer. There's no way to test it in the first place, and that's not going to phase you.
No, I honestly, it's strange that we're talking about this. I picked up 3 deer last night from the processor.
Right, so you're not going to check up whether you're having burger or sausage on that or back straps. You're not checking up on those deer.
Absolutely not. Not on the deer I harvested, and I know where it came from here in Alabama. As of me talking to you today, there are no confirmed cases of CWD in Alabama. I'm going on as business as usual.
Okay. All right. So then I'm going to ask you this. So what else has gotten traction over the last week or so is a discussion of CWD. And if people have not listened in past shows, chronic wasting disease, something you've laid out for us here. But this research, it says it's a bacteria that causes this, where I thought it was we had talked about a misfolded prion. Can you give me just a regular guy like me's version of this? Help me understand.
Yeah, basically all of the research in the past that has looked at these transmissible spongiform encephalopathies, TSEs, which is CJD in humans, BSE in cattle, scrapie in sheep, and now CWD in deer. These are all species-specific varieties of the same condition. Basically, you have a protein in your body that misfolds. It becomes similar to a cancer. It infects other proteins to cause them to misfold. And then Choctaw County terms, it turns a deer's brain into Swiss cheese, where it's got holes in it. They can't feed themselves. They can't avoid predators. And it eventually, they succumb to something, be it, you know, getting run over by a car or a coyote or drowning or whatever. So it basically incapacitates an animal over time.
Okay. That and that misfolded prion, so how is that related with the... Because the scary thing about the prion, one of the many scary things, was, you know, you basically told me, Sean, it's not really alive. We can't, like, if it sits in the soil, it can be in there for years, and a deer can come back and get reinfected. But now hearing this talk about a bacteria what's your thought? Is there a cure for this? Is there a cure on the horizon for this?
All right, that's been the biggest story out there right now. I'm going to break it down into Choctaw County terms.
Good, I like that.
There have been thousands of studies looking at these types of diseases over decades. Okay?
Okay.
Thousands of studies by hundreds of people. Now we have one individual that says he has figured it out, that a bacteria causes the misfolding of the prion. I hope he's right.
Yep.
However, I'm going to listen to hundreds of scientists until this one can get a lot more, till he can have a lot more peer-reviewed research to see if what he's saying is correct. He needs validation of his theories. And until I see that, I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in it right now. I hope the guy is correct. I really do. Because I would love, nothing would tickle me more for there to be a simple cure for CWD, CJD, BSE, all of it.
Absolutely.
I hope this guy is smarter than everybody else in the world and he's figured it out.
And what you're saying, I mean, people got to realize not only director, but you're a biologist, and you look at things through a scientific lens. You're talking about peer review, and that's important. I think just as regular citizens, I mean, we grab onto the odd story out because it is it's the different thing, and it maybe it's, you know, we're all hoping, like you said, that there is something out there that fixes this. So we you know, people do. I mean, it's been shared more on Facebook, I think, that story than any of the stories about CWD in the first place.
Yep. And, you know, people, especially depending on what side of this issue that you're on, you're going to gravitate toward the science that you think sells your side. So there's a lot of people jumping on board with this right now. Again, until it is verified, tested several different ways, I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket.
I'm just on the side of, like, I think a lot of folks, I would hope, would be on the side of truth. And if we can get it solved, it's very scary to us. And if we can get something fixed here, I'm on that side. Give me truth. Give me evidence.
Absolutely, man. Nothing would tickle me more for there to be a way to cure CWD and prevent it from coming back. Hey, I'm all for it.
You're just you're going to take a little while, wait and see on this new research, and maybe this is it, but you're saying, hey, give it some time.
Hey, if a new iPhone comes out, do you jump on it, or do you wait till the bugs get worked out and then you go with version 2?
You're right.
It's the same thing. It may be the latest, greatest, and best thing. I hope so. But again, I'm not going for it until all of these other thousands of research documents that have been conducted and all these scientific studies on all of these TSEs, I'm going to wait for some validation.
There we go. Well, I'm going to watch what you're learning on this, because it comes to a scientific eye with you, and I will have you check back in, maybe get with you next week to see what's happened and get your opinion on it at that point.
Absolutely. Be glad to.
All right. It's Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes, checking in right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 151 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Feinbaum on the way at 2 o'clock. And a big thank you to Director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes. A little update on the CWD story, because I know it's popped up on a couple of the news sites here locally and nationally, and part of this off of what the Centers for Disease Control said, so I thought it was worth getting not only the director, but a biologist by trade, and a smart one at that, to join us and talk a little bit more about that. We will go into depth on that Saturday at 7, Mike Ward and I, Saturday mornings at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We'll do a deep dive into that, an hour-long discussion that, and we'll make some fishing into the mix as well. All right, and he sat here with me and hung out for a second while we talked
he
to
won't
Chuck
leave.
Sykes. No, because it's good. That's Steve Joint with the Mobile Mask, because the second we went to the news break and got Director Sykes on, got a bunch of text here asking questions here. One of them there, I will say this. We had the story from Thomas about his family enjoying Mardi Gras. This one from Dan, he said, when my cousin was in the Navy, he grew up in Virginia. He was on a ship during one of the Middle Eastern things over there. And we sent him two giant boxes of moon pies and beads and candy and stuff. And we said, funny thing is, out of all the stuff people will fight over is the moon pies. So he had his own little Mardi Gras parade on the ship, and wrote back that the people were fighting over moon pies on the ship too, the different sailors. So they were enjoying Mardi Gras somewhere at sea, you know, in the Navy.
That's great. They see it at Toomey's all the time, people doing Mardi Gras care packages for servicemen and women, for relatives in other places who have been here for Mardi Gras, for expats who miss Mardi Gras and that kind of thing. They see it all the time.
That is, I like those stories. We'll probably get a lot more of those coming as we go through the next couple of weeks. All right, here's a question for you, and this one coming from unnamed texter. Please ask Steve if the Mobile Mask will add Parade Route H to their webpage, the MOT route.
Okay. I do not intend to change the MOT route on the website, and here's why. The MOTs are essentially going to follow Route A.
Okay.
What they have announced at a late hour is that they're going to do what I call a lagniappe before the parade.
A pre-parade parade. Okay.
Where they're going to start from their new den, which is at Government and Dearborn.
Okay.
Which is very close to, it's almost to the library, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost where they make the turn at Washington. So they're going to line up just their floats and the Baker Band. This is essentially what they're doing is giving their queen a grand entrance.
Okay.
So they're going to bring the queen out of their den. They're going to put her on her float.
Okay.
They have a whole queen's float, if you've never noticed that. And they're going to parade essentially just the floats down Government toward Claiborne. They're going to turn down Claiborne, and then they're going to hit the essentially starting point for A, which is the intersection of Claiborne and Church. And at that point, there will be a couple of police officers who are going to be folding in, shuffling a deck of cards.
Right.
The other units, the other bands,
here's
the dancing girls, okay, and all that stuff.
Float
with the parade.
Other unit. How they
correct?
Okay.
And all those units they've been waiting. They were lined up at the Civic Center,
mm-hmm,
waiting for the floats to get there.
Like merging traffic. Like you're supposed to let one person in and the next person go.
It never works that way. But it's supposed to work. It's going to work that way this time, hopefully. The question, they're going to start at 6 at their den. My guess is essentially means that the best case scenario, the full parade will start at 6:30 at Church and Claiborne.
Frankly,
your usual spot for the MOTs, you will get just as much MOT as you've always gotten.
Okay, so wherever
and if you happen to be on that little tiny route where they're going to be, you get a little bit more MOT than you usually get, because supposedly they're going to throw during that little lagniappe
before
section
they actually get to where people think about.
Right.
So it is. So to answer this person, so H is essentially A with a pre-parade.
Right. And I'll be honest with you, the last time I looked at the city website that says here's Route H,
right,
I don't know where they came up with that, because it has no, It's not at all what it should be, and they're supposedly going to fix it. They're supposedly going to fix it so that it looks like. And I will tell you, the Register ran it correctly in their special section. Not this past Sunday, but Sunday before.
Okay.
But it's a mess to look at. And they had it correct, but it's just awful to look at. It's too many lines on top of too many lines.
So before somebody gets confused and goes, oh gosh, just if you're wherever you stand on Parade Route A to watch the MOTs,
just say it's Route A. Just it's Route A. Don't worry about it. And if you go to the Mobile Mass Facebook page, I posted an item several days ago about this, and we put up a little map of just the lagniappe route.
Okay.
So you just say
pre-parade.
It's A.
Yeah.
Plus this little bit that we put the map up.
But if you don't want to go do the little bit thing, you don't have to change thing about
If Royal Street is your hangout,
right,
just figure it's going to be a little bit later than you're used to, and nothing else is going to be different.
Okay.
It won't be near as late as it was last year.
Get me started on that.
Oh, man.
But my kids said, even the kids said, it's too late for Mardi Gras, Dad. I said, that's right, we're going home.
Yeah, I mean, and it was, because it was Monday night. It was Mardi Gras. You gotta get up in the morning and do the Mardi Gras thing.
Yeah, kids are, when they're rubbing their eyes along the parade route.
I bet they were.
So that's some real stuff. Okay, well, hopefully get started earlier. We'll talk about this more next week. Of course, Thursday night, we get back in action.
With the polka dots. We'll see what the weather's going to do. Don't let Channel 15 scare you. They've been putting out scary stories the last couple of days about weather and Mardi Gras.
Right.
Most of these folks are going to roll in the rain.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like. Dr. Bill says, he was even talking about specifically, we were talking about Friday more than Thursday, but he said it's scattered shower. He says nothing that's.
And we've all lived here long enough to know that it's not if it's going to rain, it's where and exactly when it's going to rain.
Well said. Well said. All right, Steve, as always, I appreciate it.
Love being here.
All right. We enjoy having you here, too. And when this may trend online, and we may be still discussing the size of heads, we can get Conan O'Brien on our side, get this kid a lacrosse helmet.
We need to do that. We need to come together as a nation. And
big head work, nation.
And what? And work to accommodate.
That's right.
The big head people.
That's
among,
right.
Among us.
Y'all measure
they do
your
walk among us.
Measure your heads and send those
they
measurements
wobble
in.
A little bit because their heads are so heavy. But they do walk among us.
With a slight angle. All right. Y'all have a great one. Find Bob all the way next.